Pastor Paul is with his parents in Scotland to look after them and to cater for them. You know, it's a part of honoring our parents is to help them when they get old and weak. So Pastor Paul is doing this on his part as his parents are not doing so well. So he wants to be with them and see how he can help them the most. So I have the privilege to continue in Romans. And we're now in Romans 15, verse 5 to 7. So Romans 15, 5 to 7. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of Scripture. We thank you for everything which we can learn from it, Lord Jesus. We ask you to help us to understand the full measure of it, Lord Jesus, to submit to your teaching, to understand the mind of Christ, and to learn how to accept one another as Jesus Christ accepted us. Be with us and guide and lead us in everything through your words for the encouragement of the whole body. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So when Pastor Paul asked me to preach from this passage, I first was a little bit skeptical, considering there are only three verses. I was thinking maybe it's a little bit hard to preach a whole sermon on three verses. But as always, when we go a little bit deeper into the words of God, we find that there are a great treasure to be found, good things to learn. So it's also with this passage, first of all, we can see there are two exhortations. One exhortation is to have the same mind as Christ towards one another. The second exhortation is to accept one another as Christ accepted us. So when we're talking about exhortations, we're not talking about commands. We're talking about encouragement, admonishment to do something, to urge somebody to follow Christ. And when we do that, as we see here, when we have the mind of Christ, when we accept one another as Jesus Christ, we give glory to God and praise to God. So what attitude we have towards one another, how we relate to one another, how we accept one another, that is also a way to give glory to God. And that is our ultimate goal, always to give glory to God, to give praise to Him. But let's look first, then again, at the first exhortation, to have the mind of Christ. Can we have the mind of Christ? And what is the mind of Christ? First, to have the mind of Christ is not something natural. We need God's help. The God who gives endurance and encouragement, we also need Him to give us the mind of Christ. But what is the mind of Christ? The whole Bible is a revelation of Jesus Christ, of His mind, But we do not have the time tonight to go through the Bible. So let's take a text in the Bible, which I believe gives us some understanding of the mind of Christ. So let's go to Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So in this small passage, we can notice four things about the mind of Christ. First of all, his humbleness. A humbleness which is unmatched. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the kings of kings, left his holy place, his high place in heaven, and came down to us, took upon him the flesh of man, and dwelt among us. And he was exposed to all kind of hardship. He was exposed to the opposition of sinful men who scorned him, who hated him. Not only that, he came as a servant. He said, I have come to serve, not to be served. So the King of Kings, the Holy One, came to serve us, to serve his Father. Not only that, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Not just a death, a normal death, but the death on the cross. So we see his humbleness. And the second thing we see is his obedience, his submission. He submitted always to the will of the Father. And he was always obedient to God the Father. When he faced his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed earnestly, anguished in his soul, that the cup of suffering might be taken away from him. But still he said, your will be done, not my will. So even facing this cruel death on the cross, he submitted to the will of the Father. The third thing we can notice is his sacrificial love. He came to die for us. He gave his life for us. He was a perfect sacrifice, a lamb without blemish, fully acceptable to God the Father. He was our atoning sacrifice, means he paid for our debt. He took the penalty which we deserved. He did not deserve it. He was without sin. But we deserved it. We deserved to be on the cross, to suffer what he suffered. When we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. We see here his sacrificial love towards us. And in all these things, he gave glory to God. When he died on the cross, he finished the work which God has given him to do. And in this way, he glorified God. He always glorified God, the Father, as the Father also always glorified Jesus Christ. Can we have this mind of Christ? It seems unattainable, so lofty. We can strive towards it. He is our example, whom we want to follow. He's the one we want to imitate. Ephesians 5:21 tells us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, out of fear of God. So we also have to submit to one another. Submission is not something which is easy for us. But the Bible tells us if we want to have the mind of Christ, we have to submit to one another. Jesus died for us. It seems we cannot die for one another. But still, the Bible tells us in 1 John 3:16. We all know John 3:16, but there's also 1 John 3:16, which is very similar. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Not physically, but in other ways, we have to give away what we want, and see what is the interest of our sisters and brothers, what is the best for our sisters and brothers. And that sometimes means sacrifice from our side. We ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then concerning humbleness, Colossians 3:12 gives us this exhortation, not easy. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's a spiritual clothing which we can take on. The Bible also instructs us to take on Christ, to take off the old man and put on the new man. But how do we do this practically? We all know how to take off our normal garments, to take off our dirty or used clothes and put on new, fresh clothes. Yeah, it's not a big thing. Good for some, maybe it takes more time and more thoughts, but generally we do not have a problem to change our clothes. But how do we change our spiritual clothes? How do we take on compassion and humbleness? How do we do it? Let me give you 5 ways which can help us to do that. First of all, we have to know whom we are in Jesus Christ. That we are included in Christ help us also to walk in the way Jesus Christ did. And we have a wonderful passage in Isaiah 61:10. Isaiah 61:20. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and wrapped me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So God himself is clothing us with garments of salvation. He has taken off our old clothes and given us a new clothes. Our righteousness, the righteousness which is in Jesus Christ. And if we look in Philippians 2, 1 to 4, about us being united with Christ, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of the other. We are united with Christ. We're united in Christ together. Christ in us and we in Christ. Knowing this should give us great encouragement. And his love should comfort us. And we all share the same spirit, and that should give us tenderness and compassion towards one another. This should help us to have the same mind, the mind of Christ, so we put aside all selfishness, all selfish ambition. We humble ourselves and put others above us. Second, as we read before in our passage, we need to pray to God to give us the mind of Christ. He needs to help us to have this mind. The early church in Acts 2 came together and they were devoted to prayer. They were faithful in prayers. And that's what we can learn from them. Be faithful in prayers. Be devoted to prayer. God gives us this privilege to come to him in prayer, to bring before him all anxieties, to pray with all kind of prayers at all occasions. Call upon me, he says, and I will be there. It's up to us. Anytime we can come to him and have communion with him in prayer. And having communion with him in prayer, praying for our sisters and brothers, interceding for them, asking God to give them encouragement, to give them help, that changes our whole mindset. It changes our mind about ourselves and our sisters and brothers. So devoted in prayer. And third thing, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Because the world is constantly bombarding us with all kinds of things, with their ethics, their morals, their philosophies, their way of living. They constantly influence us, constantly bombarding our brain. So we need to take our focus off on what the world wants. Instead, we can, as Philippians 4:8 says, we can put our mind on things which are more valuable. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things, and the God of peace will be with you. Put our mind on these things. Put our mind on heavenly things and not on earthly things, and God will be with us." Number 4, live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. God has given us His Spirit who lives in us. The Spirit is our helper, our comforter. We can listen to Him, we can be guided by Him, or we can quench the Spirit, we can grieve the Spirit. But God gave us His Spirit in order to help us to have the mind of Christ. It's God who works in us to act and will according to His good pleasure, and He does this through His Holy Spirit. God does not leave us alone. He helps us. We can ask Him to help us. Finally, as we again coming back to the first church in Acts, they were devoted to prayer and they were devoted to the teaching of the apostle. So we need also to be devoted to read the Word of God. In his prayer to the Father for all believers in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them. Sanctify them by the word of truth." So through reading, faithful reading of the Bible, we are being sanctified. The word of God does something. They are alive and not dead. So whenever we read the Bible, whenever we hear the word of God, it changes us. It's like a filter who filter away all bad things. So we need to filter ourselves through the Word of God constantly. It's like a well where we can draw fresh water. We need a shower in the fresh water of the Word of God every day, like when we need, as we need a shower normally for our body. The Psalm 19:17 say it, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." It's refreshing us like a real shower. The Word of God is refreshing us, renewing our mind. So we have 5 points which help us to have the mind of Christ. Our position in Christ, prayer, not to be conformed to the world, and reading the Bible. God has supplied everything for us. We just need to follow. As I said, exhortations are not commands. They are encouragement for us to follow God. It's a daily discipline. We cannot just do it once and say, okay, it's done. I'll put on the clothes of humility. I'll put on Christ. No, we have to do this every day. It's part of our sanctification. It's a part of our discipleship. It's up to us. If we want to have our mind renewed, it's possible. We can never match Jesus Christ, but we can see Him as an example to follow. So that was about the first exhortation in our first text. In the text, we have a second exhortation. Accept one another as Christ accepted us. How do we do this? How do we accept one another as Christ accepted us? First, let us consider that we do not accept Christ. Man cannot accept Christ. Man is an enemy to Christ before he comes to know Christ. It's Christ who needs to accept us. But on what terms? On what terms did Christ accept us? What do we have to do that Christ will accept us? Romans 9:16 says, it does not depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. So it depends on God's mercy and His grace. But God does not just give mercy and grace like that. It depends on Christ's atoning sacrifice, as we heard before. Christ died for us. At our place, He paid the price. Otherwise, God could not extend His mercy and grace. But God provided everything in Jesus Christ's death for our salvation. When we look at the cross and the cruelty of the crucifixion, when we consider the excruciating pain of Jesus Christ, what He went through to save us, then we see in reflection of our own sinfulness the length and width and height and depth of our sin shows the love of Christ and the need of forgiveness. Without understanding the depth of our sin, we will not appreciate the salvation of Jesus Christ. We will not appreciate His death without knowing that we were utterly sinful, with a wicked heart, desperate wicked. So when we see our own sinfulness, we understand how much Christ loved us to pay the price. So Jesus provided everything for us to be saved through grace and mercy. It's by grace we are saved, is what Ephesians 2:8 is saying. It says, through grace we are saved because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. But what do we have to do to receive grace? We need to repent, is what Jesus said. In all His ministry, He went around preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So without repentance, there's no forgiveness. Repentance means a total turnaround. We look at our sin and we see them as they are, that they put Jesus Christ on the cross. So we turn away from our sin and turn to God, utterly cut in our heart and convicted of our sin. That is repentance. It's a total turnaround from sin towards God. And finally, faith. We need to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you believe, you'll remain in your sin. So God requires repentance and faith. Faith is not just believing, it's also trusting. We have to trust Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. He's the only one who can save us. He's the only one who paid the price. God gives us grace and mercy and forgiveness when we come to Him in repentance and faith. A contrite spirit a broken heart, God will not despise. But that's how we have to come to God, with a contrite spirit, a broken heart because of our sin. And God is a merciful God, a loving God. That's why he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ. He has given us everything. So when we look at this, understanding our own sinfulness and what God has saved us from, how much he suffered on the cross for us, his humbleness, then we know none of us are good. And there's no one better than the other. It does not matter what position we have in life. It does not matter if we earn a lot of money or if we have nothing. As Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for we are all one in Christ. With other words, there are no Americans, there are no Europeans, there are no Africans, there are no Asians. No. We all have received a new citizenship in heaven, which is much better. So we're all one. Yeah? We are not any nation anymore. We have given it up. Christ is enough. So we have been called to praise and honor and glorify Jesus Christ. The best way we can do that is how we relate to one another. It's our attitude and mind towards one another, how we submit to one another, accept one another, love one another, encourage one another. That gives glory to God. That's what he requires of our fellowship and believers. So our unity is one of faith and love and truth. And when we have this unity, when we display it, when we have the mind of Christ, as close as we can come, and we're accepting of one another, then this is a testimony to the world that Jesus Christ is among us and that he is ministering through us, the whole body. So we cannot give a better testimony to the world than how we relate to one another. It is work. It's a continuous work. So we have to submit every day to God. We have to try to put on the clothes of humility towards one another and have the mind of Christ. It's a long time exercise. Not just one day and it's done. No, we have to continue to do this. Fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. So finally, this unity is not a human-made unity. It's one created by God. He included us together in one body, and he is the head. So I want to finalize with the prayer of Jesus Christ to God, our Father, where he pray for all believers. And I'll just let the word speak for himself. So John 17:20-23. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Amen.
Amen. Shall we stand as we respond in song?